John chapter 3. We are reading from verse 1. Someone, if you have your Bibles with you, you can read for us. I think that they are still working on. We have a lot of things to work on. Amen. So we'll manage for now. Is that not true? Are we ready to manage for now? Yeah. Later we do what we are supposed to do. John chapter 3. And I want a very good reader who has NIV and King James and all that to help. Amen. Can we please take our seats? Someone should just read John chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who would read it for us? John chapter 3, verse 1. Going. Mm-hmm.
John chapter 3, mm-hmm. verse 1, going. Mm-hmm. From the King James version. Mm-hmm. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana. Mm-hmm. John chapter 3.
Verse 1.
John chapter 3, from mm-hmm. 1. Mm-hmm. King James version.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. There was a man of the Pharisees mm-hmm. named Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. A ruler of the Jews, mm-hmm. the same came to Jesus by night, mm-hmm. and said unto him, mm-hmm. Rabbi, mm-hmm. we know that thou art a teacher, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. for no man can do these miracles mm-hmm. except God. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said unto him, mm-hmm. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, mm-hmm. except a man be born again, mm-hmm. he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him,
I want you to read verse 2 again.
Mm-hmm. John chapter 3, verse 2. Mm-hmm. The same came to Jesus by night mm-hmm. and said unto him, mm-hmm. Rabbi, mm-hmm. we know that thou art a teacher come from God, mm-hmm. for no man can do these miracles that thou doest.
We know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Is that not powerful? Is that powerful? Whatever, you can sit down. We know that you are a teacher that comes from God. Say, you're a teacher that comes from God. There are certain things that are very important in life. There are certain things that in life you don't take for granted. Amen. But as a Christian, there are two important things that you don't have to take for granted. Amen. The first one is your relationship with your man of God. Write it down. It's very important. The second one is your relationship with God. Two important things that you do not have to take for granted in your Christian walk. So when you say you are a Christian, you should belong to a church. Is that true or false? Is that true or false? Who is in this church? Who has gone home right now? Amen. So if you are a Christian, you should belong to a church. Amen. Amen. And your relationship with your man of God must be, your man of God, woman of God must be strong. Number one. Two, your relationship with God must be strong. Amen. Amen. You cannot go far as a Christian spiritually if your relationship with your man of God is not strong. So these are two important relationships, true or false? Your relationship with your man of God and your relationship with God must be taken very serious. So Nicodemus says that we know, Nicodemus was a Jewish leader, a man. But when he saw all that Jesus was doing, he said that, for we know that you are a teacher. He knew that Jesus was a teacher or a master by what Jesus was doing. This we know, not that we are. And you see, and that is very important. Knowing the minister that is sent over you is very important. Amen. Who is following what I'm saying? Very important. Is that what we know, that you are a teacher and you come from God? Then it says, and no man can do these mighty works. These are things that we'll be sharing throughout this month. Amen. Amen. But he, even as a Jewish leader, could know that this man was not an ordinary man, and that he was a teacher that is coming from God. That means that to him, God has sent him as a teacher to the world. True or false? So he was telling Jesus that we know that you are a teacher and that you come from God. Because when we see the things that you are teaching and the things that you are doing, no man can do it. There are things men can do. There are things that men who have worked with God can do. Amen. Not all men are the same. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not all men are the same. So there are things that men can do. Men live in the ordinary plane. So they do things in the ordinary. Then, the man of God lives in the extraordinary plane. Listen, it's very important. What I'm sharing with you is very important. Sometimes, two important relationships that you must learn and maintain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Two important relationships that you must learn and you must maintain. You must know where you belong to as a Christian. You must know where your growth is coming from as a Christian. You must know what you are expecting, even as a Christian. Amen. And as a Christian, you must know who is sent over your life and relate very well with that person. Many Christians are in the habit of moving from churches to churches. Amen. Amen. Why? Because they do not understand this simple principle. Staying under a man of God is a kingdom principle, a kingdom law. God does not have bastards. God has children. And God entrusts his children to the care of certain men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, so God entrusts his children, when you get born again, to certain men. And those men are regarded as men of God or women of God. Or sometimes we call, based on the offices, we call them bishops, pastors, and all that. It is God entrusting his child to this man, knowing that this man has a responsibility over that child or that child of God. But sometimes many Christians, especially we Christians, I've said it that I have never seen. And you see, sometimes we teach some of these things to correct certain things. When you read the Bible critically, you discover that some of the things that Paul said were answers to problems in the church. For instance, when Paul, are you following what I'm saying? Yes, if you don't study the scripture, what I'm saying is like magic movie. Amen. When Paul addressed the communion, for instance, there was an issue in the church. And he discovered that most of them were just coming to eat it like they had come. They were throwing a party. So this one comes and he just eats it anyhow. And this one just comes and behaves anyhow. And some are even drunk in the church. Amen. And then he started addressing that by telling them that that which I have received of the Lord is what I'm doing, what I'm making known unto you. That on the night that he was betrayed, then he started the writings. His writings was to address the issue at that time. When you read throughout the Corinthian church, you see all of that in as he addresses issues in the concerning marriage. People were burning. Some of the boys were burning, didn't know what to do and where to pass, and were going corners, chasing some ladies here and there. And people were asking him concerning marriage, and he had to write a letter concerning that to address it. Why? Because one major responsibility of a man of God is to see where the church is lacking in knowledge and to supply that knowledge. Right? That's very important. And then one major responsibility of the Christian and the man of God is to see that this knowledge is coming to me and to embrace that knowledge. Come on, shout glory. You understand what I'm just preaching right now? Amen. Amen. Are you writing something down? So it's very important. It's very important. One responsibility of the man of God is to make sure that he supplies. Where there is a lack in knowledge, he supplies knowledge. So that people will come to an understanding of what they ought to do. Paul said that so that you may know how you might behave in the house of God. That means that we don't just do anything we want in the house of God. There's a way to behave in the house of God. And the blessings of the Christian is tied to how much reverence he gives to the word of God that is being shared to him. So if you do not give much reverence to the word of God that is being shared to you, such that I used to think it's like this. But after hearing the word of God, now I've come to realize that it is no longer like that. It is like this. And move into that direction. That is what we call correction. You hear what I'm saying? You hear, shout glory.
Glory.
I'm not hearing your yes, pastor, today. Why? Do you want some wache to eat? You want some wache to eat? Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
A man of God, a minister of the gospel, a man of God is a man sent from God. Write it down. A man sent from God. I think I've been teaching on these things for a while now. Amen. And it's important we establish the hearts of people. A man of God is a man sent from God with grace and is on an assignment. The miracles that Nicodemus was talking about were miracles that were done by God through a man. Or by a man through God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Miracles done by what? By God through a man. So a man of God, first of all, a man of God. That means that he is a man and he has infirmities. But you see, he is of God because he is sent by God. So when you see that we say, oh, this person is a man of God, it means that God has called him and sent him into the life of certain individuals. It is not every person that is sent to this church. You should understand that. It's not every person that is sent to Lighthouse, every person that is sent to Christ Embassy. If God could send everybody to Christ Embassy or to Witness Chapel, then there will be no need to raise other men. So it's not everybody that is sent to the church. But when you are sent to this church or you are brought to this church and you know within your spirit, this is where I belong to, and you say, I'm part of this ministry, then in your heart and in your mind, you have decided to subject yourself to the authority of that church. Who is hearing what I'm saying?
I'm hearing you, sir.
So it's a decision you make. So when you say that, what church do you attend? You say, I'm a Presbyterian. It's not just like that. It means that you have decided to submit yourself to the authority in that particular church as a Presbyterian. So that pastor in that church has authority over you. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Who is following what I'm saying?
I'm following,
sir. So the scriptures talk about a man that is sent. Go to John chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to catch these things that we share. Sometimes about men of God. We share something about the Christian. We share about the Holy Spirit. This is very important to me today. Amen. And I want your heart to be established in this truth. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there? Hallelujah. So John chapter 1 verse 6. Who wants to read it for us? Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Say, thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Who read it for us? You can say that one, just read.
John chapter 1 verse
mm-hmm.
6.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man sent from God.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name was John?
There was a man sent from God. John was born as a man. Amen. In the wilderness. It says there was a man that was sent from God. So when we say somebody is a man of God, it means that God has sent that man to you. Now, God cannot send a man to you and you dishonor that man. True or false? And this is very important for Christians. Why am I saying this? Because you can't go far as a Christian without understanding that you have to honor your man of God. Or you're a woman of God. You can never go far. And I say this with seriousness. Because sometimes people feel like, oh, is this a church? I can just move and go to another church. That's why many Christians are so broke. And through struggles, Oh, it's just a church. If they do something, I can just go. Oh, it's just a church. If I just, I can just change churches. So some people are changing churches like they are changing dresses. They go here and say, let me test here and see. Okay, let me go here, let me test here and see. And find out, all of those who do that never break through or have prosperity in Christianity. Never. Never. Why? Because when we get born again, most of us are not trained in the things of God. Most Christians you see on the streets, they are not trained. So, we have this feeling like we can just do anything when you go to church. And then when a man of God says it, you say, or a woman of God says it, or a pastor says it, you say, oh, it's just a church. And then you go, it's just a church. Because you don't understand. Come on, shout glory. So it's important you understand the role of and the purpose of a man sent into your life by God. A man sent into your life by God. So you read the scripture and it calls the man of God, the man of God. You read the scripture and it calls the man of God, the minister of the gospel. Sometimes you see it's talking about the servant of God. Why? As a servant, he has a master. And that master is the Lord Jesus. A man of God is not your servant. So you want him to do something at a time you want him to do it. He's not your servant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Who is here in South Glory?
Glory.
So a man of God is not your servant. He's called the servant of God. That means that he serves under God and he has a boss. And that boss is the Lord Jesus. Now you see, he talks about the minister of the gospel. What is he ministering? That means that when he talks about a minister, talking about serving, like waiting upon. Like you go to the restaurant and he's waiting or he's serving something. What he is serving is what he has been given, what has been given to him by God to serve. So every man of God has what they serve. All men of God don't serve the same thing. That is why you don't move from church to church, or you don't do, I don't know which church I belong to. As for me, I'm in every church. It's an error. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't do that. Why? Because the man of God has been sent to minister something into the life of you who have been placed under his care. And what he ministers, he's ministering it from, because he's sent from God, God has given him that to serve it to you. And you have a responsibility to embrace and to receive what he is serving. So when you go to a restaurant, they serve something and you look at it and you wouldn't eat, will you be satisfied just looking at it? No. Who is following what I'm saying? So as a Christian, your relationship with your man of God must be thick. Your man of God must be thick. Your leaders and your pastors must be serious. There are certain things that are not in your care. Now, we have raised people in church that feel like I can do anything I want to do in the church. Oh, after all, it's just a church. It's because you don't understand that there is what we call leadership established by God in the church. God is not a confused God. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
God is not confused. And God is not the author of confusion. So God does not want there to be confusion in the church where everybody feels he can do what he wants to do. So you study the scriptures and you see that there are principles laid down as to how a Christian must behave and how a man of God must even behave and how a Christian must relate with his man of God. Not all men of God are your man of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It is not every man of God that is your man of God. No. Come and shout powerful man of God. You should know who is sent over your life. You should know who is sent into your life. And you follow that person. The grace on that person will work for you. Every Christian you see is walking in grace. But the blessings of the Christian is tied to the grace of the man of God that you are a partaker of. Every Christian is walking in grace. Say, I'm walking in grace. But you see, your blessings is tied to the grace of the man of God that you are a partaker of. So you are a partaker of the grace of a man of God. So Paul says that all of you are partakers of my grace. And so when you enter a church, you see the man of God looking at you and looking at how, first of all, you can be built up and looking at how God can change your life, change your story, and how God can do something in your life. Why should the man of God be interested in? Why should the man of God be interested in what God does in your life? Because it's your life. Is that not true? But his interest is because that interest is stirred in his spirit by God to watch over you. So if you are a member of this ministry, God has entrusted me a responsibility to watch over you. Do you hear what I'm saying? It means to watch over a person. So you are watching over the person to see what happens in the person's life. You first of all want to see the spiritual growth of the person. You want to see the changes that God does in the life of the person. You want to see how the person grows, how the person acts, and all that. It's a responsibility. And that man of God is going to give an account of that. Who is hearing what I'm saying?
I'm hearing you, sir.
So you too, as a Christian, you decide that as I'm under this man of God, I am submitting. The problem with the church is what we call submission. See, submission. It looks like it's a word that we all use, submit. But I feel like if you can open a dictionary and look at what it means to submit. To submit means to bring yourself under the control of someone. That's what it means to submit. It is not a, should I submit? That's why the problem has come with marriage. Should I submit to my man? Should I submit to my husband? What does it mean? How, to what extent do I submit? And all of that. Those are for outsiders. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So the problem is submission. Because when God calls a man, according to Hebrews chapter 5, go there. If I don't share these things with you, you will not be established. So every wind that blows, you follow. A Christian does not have a right to talk about his man of God or his woman of God. You don't have, I didn't say you can't do it. I said you don't have the right. You don't do what? Every matter about a man of God, a woman of God is called the higher matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you don't have the right to talk about your man, especially in a negative way. When you do that, sometimes people say, we are born again, I'm so blessed. When you do that, the things you will carry, you will not be able to carry them. Are you following what I'm saying? It's very important. So that we come to understand that the scripture says, Hebrews chapter 5, I think verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1. Wherever you are, just lift up your hand and shout glory. Because Christians are in the habit of talking about their men of God, but you can't talk against a person who has laid his hands on you and said amen. Because you know that what he is doing will impact your life. Then you receive that, go and talk against it. We don't do it. And it's very important that we understand these things. You didn't hear that? You just shouted the glory.
Amen.
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 Hebrews chapter 5. This message is a very important message. Maybe you want me to teach about miracles. Amen. Throughout the whole month, I'll be teaching a lot of things. I want you to understand this. But sometimes when we say some of these things, people feel like, I've taught a lot of these things on this. But because I've not mentioned certain things that are serious in the Bible concerning those things and the effect that can come upon a person for doing that, it looks like, he's a man of God. So even if they insult you, you take it. He will take it. But what will bounce on you, you will not be able to take it. That's why Paul says, we teach you. To teach means to open your eyes to see. You understand? To open our eyes to see, to understand that this is the way to go. Come on, shout powerful.
Powerful.
There is no way your man of God say, this is my man of God, and he says, we are meeting today. Then you say, oh, I'll meet, come tomorrow. No. If your boss calls you at work and he says, we are meeting today, today Sunday, even if you don't have what it takes, you still want to go because they have called you. You will call your husband or your wife or your sister and say, yes, I'm going to see you, I'm going to see you. Why? Because in that workplace, administratively, he's ruling over you. And you are submissive to him. Did you hear what I said? In the same way, when you come to church, it's the same way. You can't respect your boss at work and disrespect your pastor in church. No. Oh, the man of God did this to me. That is why I feel like the man of God has done this. So, because of that, I have the right to also talk. Go to Hebrews. I'll show you certain things today before we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to follow what a man of God does. No child of God does it. Your grace is limited to some extent. Come on, shout glory to what you can do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. Give it to me quickly.
Hebrews chapter 5.
Are you here? Can we all read it together? One, two, go. Hey, are you there? Will you shout it out or you are tired? One, two, go. Read it again. One, two, go. No man taketh this honor upon himself, but what? But he that is called. So he is called. Number one, is that true? Then it says that he who is called, it says no man takes this honor upon himself. So when God calls you, he sees that he has honored the person, or he has placed honor on that man of God. He calls it an honor. Did you hear that? He calls it an honor. God calls what he has placed on that man an honor. Calling him a man of God is an honor. So it means that God has honored that person. True or false? Now, when God honors a person, can a child of God dishonor that person? No. So God places, that's what the scripture says, give honor to whom honor is due. And when he talks about to whom honor is due, he's talking about the man of God. He's talking about your parents. He's talking about those in authority. In the church, spiritual authority. He says you give honor to such a person. He's calling us to place value on that person. Is that true? And he's calling us to give reverence to that person. Is that true? So he says no man takes this honor upon himself. Nobody can say, I've called myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are called by the one who is supreme to all.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, in all things, he has the preeminence. That is why we, some of us can't see working at the bank as higher than working in the church. Because it says, in all things, Jesus has the preeminence. So when the one who is Lord of all, say Lord of all, calls a person to work for him is an honor. Come and shout, powerful man of God. Take us to Hebrews chapter 30. And so he expects the child of God to honor. No man of God is your classmate. No man of God. Write these things down. Amen. No man of God is your classmate. It looks like I'm not seeing a lot of things. So Sam is not here. Sam is here. Where is Sam? He's around. Why, he's doing some connections. It's on assignment. Shout glory.
Glory.
We are working on our children's class. Amen. Are we there? Who wants to hear something, or you want to close and go home? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. You are reading from verse 17. If you are there, you can just read it quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 17. Amen.
Amen.
Sit down, Pastor Wayne. Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Obey them that have the rule over you.
Obey them that have the rule over you. Uh-huh.
And submit yourselves.
And submit yourselves.
Mm-hmm. For they watch for your souls.
Now listen. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. Do you have your Bible? Are you seeing it there?
Yes,
who brought a Bible to church today? Who did not bring a Bible to church today? Amen.
Amen.
So it says, obey them that have the rule over you. What is it telling us? It's talking to Christians. Is that true?
It's true, sir.
Why would Paul even say that in Hebrews? Because it should be just automatic. Once you are in church, you just obey your leaders. Is that not true? But just obey them that have the rule over you. So in the sight of God, God is calling for your obedience. Is that true? He's calling for the obedience of the church. Obey them that have the rule. Now he's telling us that the ones who have the rule, they have rulership over the church. Meaning that they are ruling. So the man of God, or your man of God, is ruling in the church. And God is calling for your obedience to his rule or rulership. Who caught what I just said? Rule over you. Obey them and do what?
Submit yourselves.
And submit yourselves. Uh-huh.
For they watch for your souls.
And submit yourselves. That means that bring yourself under subjection to that person. Because that person is watching for your soul. So you are submitting to his rulership, true or false? So you enter a church and you see you can't submit to the rulership there, you live quietly. Leaving a church or having a perception that if I leave the church, oh, they will lose one member. It's a childish way of thinking. It's a what?
Childish.
It's a childish. See, the work we do, this work of the ministry is such that it is spiritual. It's not physical. So it's not based on what you see. It's based on what is cooking in the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
so all of you here, you look at me, just see, oh, we are doing what changes, we are doing what changes. But when God looks at us, he sees a lot of branches all over.
Hallelujah.
That is it. He sees a kind of impact that will draw all men to come. Are you following what I'm saying? And he seeks to prepare the man he has called unto the person where the person at the time where the person is fully equipped to make such impact. Then he draws those men. That's why we say ministry is in phases. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
So the man of God is watching for your soul. The man of God is watching for your soul. He's watching for, he has become a watchman over your soul. He says that he's watching for your soul as somebody who will give an account. Is that what he says?
Yes, sir.
An account of you to God. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Then he says what?
That they may do it with joy.
That they may give that account with joy. Uh-huh.
And not with grief.
That means that don't do something that will grieve your man of God. Because he says what happens?
For that is unprofitable for you.
For that is unprofitable for who?
For you.
For who?
For you.
The man of God, the church member. It's unprofitable when the man of God is grieved. That is why you see me every day say that don't stop gossiping in the church. Don't I say that? Stop gossiping in the church. Your role in the church is to learn, is to serve. So you are learning and you are rendering a service. Who is what I'm saying? Very simple. And that is in your mind. So in your Christian walk, you know that I belong to WCN. Amen.
Amen.
I have pastors over me. Those pastors, it says they are over. Say over. And it says, don't grieve them. Because when you grieve them, it will be unprofitable for you. See, the man of God, a man of God, no matter how young he is not your classmate. It's not your age mate. You might have gone to school with a person, but he's not your classmate. Once he becomes a man of God, he is a father. If you belong to his ministry, he's not your age mate. We are on the same age. Oh, this one is a young boy. We are on the same age. Your man of God is not your age mate. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your spiritual height in this Christianity, your spiritual height is dependent on the reverence you give to your man of God. Your spiritual height. And that spiritual height will determine your other heights. Many Christians don't know that it is the spiritual first. So we are chasing things. I always say it every time, that chase spirituality. The others will follow. Is that not what the scripture says?
Yes,
so your spiritual height is dependent on the honor you give to the man of God, your relationship, understanding the purpose of a man of God over you. Your spiritual height. If you do not understand the purpose of a man of God, he will preach a message today. You won't take it. Then he preaches a message tomorrow. Then you take it. Oh, this one is not my message. That one is my message. Oh, Papa, even this preaching, it doesn't belong to me. I don't know what he's really, really talking about. You understand? And in the church, there are different kinds of people. There are those in church to cause confusion. They are just there. There are those in church to accuse people and accuse the man of God. There are those in church to cause divisions. So they go to this person and say, have you heard, Pastor? Today, Papa's message is about me. Intentionally preached because of me. Have you heard that the man of God even said he's raising a seed like this? I don't even understand what the seeds. Do you hear what I'm saying? Wherever you are now, it's as a result of your reverence to your man of God. Wherever you are spiritually, financially, and all that, is as a result. There are men of God who don't pray for people to be healed and all that. But you can stay in their church and be very rich. Is that true?
It's true, sir.
There are some who you can even stay in the church and be healed. No healing means anointing, nothing. But you'll be healed. Or grace, you'll be healed. Because you have reverence for that person. You can walk with the man of God for years and still not have reverence for the person. That's true. If you're able to open your mouth to talk about your man of God, it means you don't have reverence for him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh, you see, Papa is Pastor Obed. I don't know even why Pastor Obed is calling us every time. Shout glory.
Glory.
Is this very important? I may not have time to teach these things again and again. Amen. So let me push it to you today. Say, push it to me.
Push it to me, sir.
Amen. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
So when you enter a church and you stay there, and you say, I belong to this church, it means you have acknowledged the authority of the leader. You have looked at the leader and you have acknowledged that I want to stay. People want to go to church where maybe they sell oil there. They acknowledge that. They feel like the oil is too serious. Once you can pour it into water, oh, to change your life. That is, they acknowledge the authority. That is them. So when you are in a particular church, means you have intentionally acknowledged the fact that I want to, or you say, this is my church. That is my pastor. Those are my pastors. That is my leader. Oh, that is my brother in the Lord. This, you have acknowledged the authority of that man of God, of that church, and you are there. And God expects that after acknowledging that, you don't fight it. If you are in the church and maybe you don't understand certain things, or you feel things are going on and you don't really understand and you don't want to stay, you can live quietly. I've said it, don't ever come to that point where you feel like, I can address the issue in the church. You remember, you say, I can address the issues in the church. In fact, nobody will talk, say it, but I'll say it. You are bringing curses on your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Nobody will say it, but as for me, I have the right to say it. Let me tell you this. If a man of God pronounces a curse on you, nobody can reverse it. Not even another man of God. Sometimes you see men of God say, oh, you've been cursed by this man, let me reverse. Unless that pronouncement is as a result of something else. Maybe the man of God comes to you and deceives you and goes to sleep with you, and after that, because he doesn't want you to say it, he says you are cursed. Those are different things. But it's not when you are caught that you are talking against the man of God. When you pronounce, see, there are things you don't understand. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Are you following what I'm saying? Maybe we may not do that. Sometimes even is enough. So it's important that we understand these simple principles in the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We are not all equals. The child of God and the man of God are not equals in the body of Christ. People ask those questions. What is the difference? I tell them, read your Bible, you see the difference. Amen. They are not equal. It's not like the man of God is equal with a child of God. After all, we are all born again. No. You heard what he said. He says, no man can receive this honor upon himself except the one that is called. So it's not that we are equal. In the church, we have what I want to call it spiritual stratification. It means that there is what we call social stratification. Where we say we talk about various classes in the society. But in the church, we have different classes. We are all in different classes. You are in different levels of glory. There are some that are weak. And there are some that are strong. Is that true? So say, let the strong help the one that is weak. There are those in church who are worldly. They are born again, but they are so worldly. Amen. There are some that are carnal. There are some that are spiritual. So those levels are there. Who is hearing what I'm saying?
I'm hearing you, sir.
Shout glory.
Glory.
And so it's important. Don't live your life like, oh, I can deceive this man of God. Oh, I can deceive. No. You can't deceive any man of God. You deceive yourself. Some say, oh, if God, then God should strike me. The man of God is powerful. He should say, Tante, I want to see whether it will happen. It may not happen to you. It may happen to your children's children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's very important. You don't have a right to sit somewhere and be insulting your man of God, be discussing issues about your man of God. I have the right to discuss your issue. You don't have a right to discuss my issue. You don't have that right. But I can discuss your own. And say, let's discuss about God Awalash. He has done something. But Awalash can't sit down and be discussing the man of God's issue. Shout glory. Especially not a man that has prayed for you or laid hands on you or has taught you. There are some, no matter what we say, they will remain the same. Concern, adidiumu. So when we say, oh, stop this thing, you say, oh, but you need God to help you. Man of God, why is this delaying? Maybe it's your concern that's making it delay. Man of God, why is this not happening? Maybe it's because of your concern. There are a lot of things in the body of Christ. There are a lot of things why things don't happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are a lot of things. It says, whose faith follow? So you follow the faith of your man of God. That's why you see a church takes the character of the man of God. Do you know that?
Yes,
every church you see has taken the character of the man of God. You see them dressed like the man of God. You see them speak sometimes like the man of God. You see them preach a message. Because he's the man sent over them. Even the disciples walked with Jesus to the point where when he was not there, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They could see Jesus with them when Jesus was absent. True or false? Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Who is following what I'm saying? Is that not powerful?
It's powerful.
So it's very important. A man of God is not your equal. A man of God is your father, number one. Write it down. Or your man of God is your father. I'm talking about your man. I'm talking about myself and you, the relationship. This one is personal. This one is not like I'm preaching somewhere. Is that not true? That's if you're a member of this ministry. Come and shout, power for man of God. So your relationship with your man of God, number one. That's what I've said, eh? So the man of God is a father. Number two, the man of God is a shepherd over a flock, which is the church. And number three, the man of God is a farmer over his farm. Oh, Lagos, Epere, Kotos, Kipalagadosh. Who is hearing something this morning? So, what am I trying to tell you? Don't entertain things about your man of God. Don't discuss them with your wife and with your husband. And so, I suggest my husband, and I don't even know. Papa's suit that he wore today. Charlie, now the suit that Papa has been wearing, eh? I'm even wondering, where does he get all the suit from? Shout glory.
Glory.
Amen. Is that true? Is that true? So the man of God is first of all a father. That means that he trains. That means that he disciplines. Sometimes you can do something, we discipline you. It's part. He trains you, he disciplines. He sees to your growth as a father. Paul lamented, says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He was talking to his members. Is that not true? How come you started in the spirit? How are you ending in the flesh? Oh, foolish Galatians. So Paul said, was calling the Galatian foolish. The Galatian man says, me, I'm foolish. We will see. Come and shout glory.
Glory.
So he trains, he disciplines, he sees to your growth as a father. As a shepherd, he guides you. So you are getting married and he guides you. Don't marry this person. You are making a decision to quit your job. So he says, don't quit your job now. Wait. He is guiding. He is leading. You want to travel. He says, no, don't travel. Wait. Next 2 years, you go. He's a shepherd over his flock. And the flock is the church. So Christians who are not mature, they're always, oh, as for me, this church, I don't understand. That's why I've said, if you are in a church and you don't understand whatever is happening, you feel like you don't want to stay again, you just take your Bible and your wallet, then you go home. Then you look around, then you go to that church. Is that not true? Don't go from churches to churches to cause trouble. There are people like that. They enter your church, you accept them, you relate to them, then they want to cause trouble. They plant trouble there, then they go. The scriptures talk about the weeds. So there are people in the church who are weeds. There is nothing you say that they will take. There is nothing. We are coming to church at this time. Oh, okay. They won't come. They don't take what you are saying. They are considered as weeds. So if you are also in the church, you look at who am I relating? Am I relating with a weed? Because if you are relating with a weed, you end up becoming a weed very soon. Two of us. So he talks about the farmer who is planting. Paul says that I have planted and Apollos has watered. So as a farmer, he sees to your establishment in Christ. How you be rooted. You came to church in a particular way. You are taught the word of God. You are taught, now you are rooted in Christ. Nothing shakes you. Somebody walks to you and says, man of God. So it's not just coming to say, oh, Papa, I got you a seed. Oh, Papa, and all that. If you bring me a seed and you talk about me, that seed will bounce back on your head, even though I'll spend it. Is that not true? So we bring an issue of your man of God, your woman of God, to you. And you say, this is a higher matter. This is not a subject of discussion. Simple. Don't say, oh, okay. Uh-huh. So, like a lawyer. Shout powerful. There are things a man of God can do that no one will understand. Because the relationship is making a decision, make a decision that the decision is between him and God. God says, move to this place. You move. Everybody says, where are you moving to? We've not seen the place where we've moved. Is that not what Abraham did? So it's a relationship between the man of God and his God who has sent him. So there are things about ministers that you can't understand. If I call you right now and say, the whole week you are doing a 6-day fasting, you beg me. Is that not true?
It's true, sir.
Yes. If I call and say, tomorrow we are doing an all night, you say all night, oh, Papa, 1 hour is enough for me. You can't. Why, there is a grace God gives to that man to be able to stand in on behalf of you. It's a grace God gives to that man that is able to stand and pray for you and bring the word of God to you, and what particular word it should bring for you to you at a particular time. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
There is something God will tell that man to tell you that will change your life. Come on, shout powerful man of God. So it's very important if you want to see growth. When a person leaves my church and is poor, I don't care. As long as you are broke, I know it will continue. Especially if you live in a wrong note. You understand? If you live and it's like, Papa has done this, I've gotten angry. You didn't come for rehearsal. I say, because you didn't come for rehearsal, don't sing. Is that not simple? Can we just bring anybody to come and sing in church? No. So we have a rule. Every church thrives on structures. Come for rehearsal on Saturday, Sunday, sing. Maybe you think you can't come for rehearsal. In fact, the music ministry, you are not, your name is not there. You don't care about that. It's not your thing. So why do you come and sing on a Sunday? But if you are concerned about the ministry, and you are concerned about the music ministry, and we say we are coming for rehearsal, and you have a love for God, you will come. That's why I studied the whole year by teaching on your love for God. Now it looks like the things we teach you that, oh, Papa is just talking, Papa is just talking. But I have considered a lot of churches. What I know about the church, you don't know. What makes certain churches people prosper? And certain churches, people struggle till Jesus comes within the same church. I know. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when you look at all of that, you want to train people to be rightly positioned. God doesn't just bless everybody, else all Christians will be walking around in Range Rover. Is that not true? There are principles. The man of God teach you on giving. The man of God teach you on tithing. Then you intentionally decide not to tithe. He's taught you. Are you sure what I'm saying? I don't give. That's what the church, I don't give. Then you go and sit down. But when something is happening wrongly, you say, oh, I'm going to the man of God. He may lay all the barrels of oil on you. You will still remain the same. So I want us to start this new phase with an understanding of the purpose of your pastor or your pastors and your leaders. If you get a phone call from your pastor and it's a missed call, you return the call. It's a sign of respect or reverence. These are little foxes. You feel, oh, it's not anything. If you call, this man of God. You're putting it down. You'll be there when they knock at your door that something has happened. Then you now say, oh, pastor, something has happened. Let's go. Amen. I heard Pastor Chris say something. He says, when Idahosa's wife, Archbishop Bezindelsa, who is gone, when his wife calls him, wherever he is, doesn't do that for anyone. He kneels down to talk. You see why Nigerian churches are so big like that and flourishing and testimony. In fact, I never see a Nigerian church without the supernatural. Never. Because the reverence that they accord to their men of God is high. I was watching a video this, I think last week, and one senior man of God, very senior, here at Deboye, the son is dead. The third son, with all the force, a man who can change a baby girl to a baby boy. That's how serious Adeboye is in power. A man who can talk, who can be having a crusade and it's raining, it's about to rain, and he tells them that, oh, don't worry, it will rain all over here, but the crusade guy will not rain. And it rains over and they are there, and the rain is raining all over the campus and they are there. And his son is dead. Now the question you ask, can't he raise the son back? But what has God told him? What is his relationship with God? Should he raise him back? What is God telling him? What is the reason for that? We all don't, do we know? So to take it as, oh, even these men of God, they don't have power. All the things they are talking about are all lies. Oh, that church choir. You are destroying your destiny. You are destroying, yeah? The life you are living, some of it is so hard for you that you don't have to add certain things again. Is that not true? You are sitting down thinking a lot of things, how things will work out. You are still adding some other things. Other restrictions on your life. You are placing bands on your life. Who remembers that message? Anathema. Now let me show you something and then we pray right now. Amen. It looks like time is running. Is time not running? Amen. I want to show you some of the people who dishonored men of God and what happened. And why now you may not drop dead, but your something will drop dead. Somebody did an audio and insulted me and insulted Mommy. I'm telling you. And I've told the person that if he doesn't live from hand to mouth until Jesus comes, if I ever see him prosper, I'll throw my Bible in the sea. It means God has not called me. You don't have any right to think the church you have, you see something like, oh, the man of God. That's what I'm teaching you. Because this next year that I'm fasting, I will deal with certain things. I've moved beyond where we think, oh, this thing, oh, let's leave them. No, some people must die in the church. Then we bury them. Then we use it as example. When Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't fear fall on the church. A man who has laid hands on you and prayed for you when you had nothing. Then you go and sit and say, oh, the man of God requires like this. Then look at what is happening in Lighthouse now. You may think that, oh, all the people are supporting you on social media. My brother, your children will pay. I'm telling you, and I'm showing you from scriptures, your children will be paying. In fact, your children's children will be paying. You'll be shocked. See what is happening. You go to another man and say, oh, let me pray for you to prosper. All the prayers will just fall off. You have broken a principle. It says before the serpent bites you, you do what? You break the hedge. It says before I was afflicted, I went astray. I told the person, I said, I was praying from 12 to 5. 3 o'clock, I called the person, he didn't pick. So, you can sleep at 3 and wake up at 6 to talk to me. Whilst I pray in the night. We pray from 12. Yesterday, I didn't show up here. I've been fasting throughout the week. From 12 o'clock, myself, Matthew prays, and Isaac. From 12 to 5, 12 to 6, 12 to 4. How many of you can say that, okay, you've been praying for me from 12 to 4? And I've seen people who feel I've gotten there and all of a sudden they don't know what to do again. They run back and say, oh, Papa, it's not like that. It is this. It is this. And that's why I'm sharing these things with you to establish you today in the truth so that your hearts be, your Bible says your heart be established in the word. Your relationship with your man of God, be careful. It can cost you. So don't add other things to it. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 to 29. So the man of God, when he hears anything, he just comes and he just be talking it on the stage. I've said that, and I said, some people come and say, Papa, we beg. I say, don't beg those things. Go and beg God. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 to 29. Quickly, we are looking at verse 24. Quickly.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark,
mm-hmm,
were Shem,
mm-hmm,
and Ham, and
mm-hmm,
Japheth.
Mm-hmm.
And Ham is the father of Canaan.
And Ham is the father of Canaan. Mm-hmm.
These are the three sons of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And of them was the whole earth overspread.
Uh-huh.
And Noah began to be an husbandman.
Mm-hmm.
And he planted a vineyard.
That's a farmer. Mm-hmm.
And he drank of the wine.
He drank of the wine. This is a man. Is this not a man of God? The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. He preached and preached for many years until the flood came. And he was saved. The Bible says he was saved with his family. Now, after that salvation, this is what happened. He said he became a farmer. And
he drank of the wine.
And he drank of some kind of wine. Say some kind of wine.
Some kind of wine.
Uh-huh.
And was drunken.
And was drunken. Mm-hmm.
And he was uncovered within his
tent. And was uncovered within his tent. That means he was lying there naked. He was so drunk. The Bible says that he drank to the point where he got drunk. He was so drunk that he just lied down naked. And what happened?
And Ham,
mm-hmm.
the father of Canaan,
mm-hmm.
saw the nakedness of his father.
And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Uh-huh.
And told his two brethren.
And told his two brethren that were outside. Three boys. Ham saw the father's nakedness and went to tell the other brothers. And what happened?
And Shem and Japheth,
mm-hmm.
took
a garment, uh-huh.
and laid it upon.
They took a cloth and hurriedly covered their father. So it means that in church there are those who cover their ministers. There are those who feel like, I was there when it happened. Is that not true? And then they expose the minister. They say, we have come to expose the minister. Have you seen people like that before? So we are exposing the minister. That was what he did. And what happened?
And went backward and covered the nakedness of their father.
Mm-hmm.
And their faces were backward.
And their faces were backward. That means that they looked back to do that. They didn't look at the nakedness of their father. So what I'm telling you is that when you draw closer to a man of God, you may see certain things. A woman of God, you may see certain things. To a pastor, you may see certain things. You may can even stay in my house and see certain things. Is that not true? That is the nakedness he's talking about here. But look at what Noah did. In his drunken state, he was drunk. Oh. Look at what the Bible says.
And Noah awoke from his wine. And knew what his son had done.
True or false?
True,
who told him? He was, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes,
so even though he was drunk, he woke up knowing that something has happened. He knew that son had exposed his nakedness and the others covered. And look at what he said.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
Cursed be Canaan.
He didn't say cursed be who? Ham. Ham was the one who caused it. He is a preacher of righteousness. Oh, is what? A preacher of righteousness. When he woke up and he discovered what had happened, he did not say that cursed be Ham. He said cursed be Canaan. Is that not true? That is the child of Ham. He cursed the child instead. Meaning that he knew that Ham was already old, so he was transferring that curse to his generation. And it happened. And this is a preacher of righteousness. This Noah is a preacher of righteousness. You think God will say, oh, but they are his children. Just like we talk about a father and his child, even in the church. And they were blessed because they are from Noah coming. Because whenever God blesses a man throughout the pre-Old Testament, the Genesis and all that, he blesses them with the man with their children in mind. So he talks about your descendants, your seed. But the father's pronouncement on him worked. Do you hear what I'm saying? The same thing Jacob said. God had promised Jacob, Abraham, and the seed out of the flesh a lot of things. But when Reuben misbehaved, and he said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. He says, you shall not excel. Is that what he said? He said it. He didn't have to meet and all that. Did Reuben excel? He says, you shall not excel. The excellency of a man, but you shall not excel. So when you break the hedge, the serpent will bite you. That's a principle. When you are afflicted, it says, before I was afflicted, when you go astray, you'll be afflicted. In my walk with God, I'm very careful. I know God. I can say I know God more than all of you here. Because I have a very intimate relationship with God, no matter my level. There are things that God sees that sometimes tells you, oh, keep quiet, you keep quiet. There are things that he sees and tells you what to do. There are things you don't want to position yourself when nothing is working again. It's possible to do that, and the Holy Ghost will be watching you. Oh, we don't have to have that. Next week, I'll place any videos to you. When Bishop Oyedepo was saying that they went to buy a land, and they were about to build, they started even the building. And the Lord said, I'm not there. He said they struggled to raise that. They struggled to get the land, struggled to start building because they felt we must move from here. And in the course of struggling and all that, and started the building. Then the Lord, he was praying, Mako, Mako, Mako. And God said, I am not there. He said, up to today, I don't know where the land is. Even his money didn't go for it. Then the Lord told him, go to the bush. Say bush.
Bush.
That is where he is now, in the bush. Come on, shout glory. So there are things, I'm trying to give you some scriptures, so that some of you who are here, I know that there are a lot of people in WCN who love the church. Yesterday when I said that, I heard that many people had come here and they were, I was like, these people love the church. They are concerned about the church. There are people too who don't love anything, who just don't want anything, who want to just bring some restrictions, some anathemas on them. Is that not true? The guy cursed Cana, it worked. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
So you can, Cana can say, oh, me. Or Ham can say, me, oh, it will not work. It will not, I'm going to a man of God, he will anoint me, net my head with oil, and anoint. Malados acapalada. Is that not true? I remember, yes, I think last year or last 2 years, we sent a message on the page concerning somebody who gave a Bentley to Rivet Angel and went back to take the Bentley because of all the things he was hearing and came to Square Zero. We were saying, oh, this man is fake, that, and took his bed, went back, said, give me back my Bentley, and gave it to him. And he went to Square Zero and went to another prophet in Nigeria. And you see, not all prophets will see that thing and tell you. So they will say, oh, come, my son, you are struggling. It's true, man of God. And he prays for you. Then you go. Then nothing is happening. And so the man of God, I even traveled all the way to Nigeria. It didn't work. But that Nigeria you went to is the same Holy Spirit who oversees the whole church. The church that you see that we are here like this. This church, that church, that church, and all that. We are all one in the sight of God. And the chief overseer is the Holy Spirit. You can't play tricks on the Holy Ghost. Is it possible?
No,
so before you left and the man of God said, this guy has destroyed the ministry with all his words and has run away. He has said it. But you've gone. The Holy Ghost has picked it. This is what the man has done. Then you go to Nigeria there. Then you go. The man of God picked it and said, you did this, this is true. Say, go back and beg that man. Nobody can help you. So if such a person comes to this church and I pray, one, two, nothing's happening. One, two, and I fast and I pray, nothing's happening. They'll say, it is like somebody, and that's why I say some people play tricks. You see, oh, I have a problem. Then you run to the church. Then you stay in the church and God solves the problem. You are always, oh, man of God, when will God do? When will God do? The man of God says, don't worry, God will do it. If God says that, I should tell you, it is settled. So, oh, thank you, man of God. Then you are in church. Then it becomes settled. Then you wear your shoes. Then you step out to the house. Then you go and tell your friend, that church, I won't go again. Now what I want, I've gotten it. You think you are playing tricks on the man of God because he won't come and follow you and say, please, what is happening? And then you say, oh, don't worry, it's because I don't have time, I'll come. Those are tricks. So you are positioning yourself for something to happen. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. It's a fearful thing. Come and shout glory.
Glory.
Who understands what I'm saying so far? Are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
Who wants to hear something more? Who wants to hear? If you want to hear something more, let me see your hand. You are already tired. You want to eat some watch here. Genesis chapter 20 verse 1 to 18. I want to give you some scriptures and then we close with that. Genesis chapter 20. Come on, shout glory.
Yay.
Say, I am a world changer.
I am a world changer.
I'm changing my world.
I'm changing my world.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name.
Oh, lebaka shataba, mantoko pogongoshka. Is that not powerful?
It's powerful, sir.
So Genesis chapter what? 20. Who want to read it for us? We want a fast reader. Amen. Okay, 1 to 18, quickly.
Genesis chapter 20, from verse 1 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country,
mm-hmm.
and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur.
Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent, and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man.
Abraham went to Abimelech. And when he went, he told Abimelech that that is my sister, even though Sarah was his wife. So who made a mistake? It was Abraham. But when Sarah entered Abimelech's chambers, look at what happened. God said what?
Thou art a dead man.
God came to Abimelech by night and said, Abimelech, you are but a dead man. She said, what would that? Continue,
And he said,
Lord,
go thou slay also a righteous man. Send him not unto me.
She is my sister.
And she, even she herself said,
He is my brother.
In the integrity of my heart. And innocency of my hands.
Have I done this?
And God said unto him in a dream,
Yea.
I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet.
Was Abraham a prophet?
Yes, sir.
So God showed up because he's a prophet and told Abimelech, you are a dead man. Continue.
And he shall pray for thee. And thou shalt live.
Now, God did not say that if you give the wife back to him, nothing will happen again. It's okay. He says, the prophet will pray for you and you shall live.
And if thou restore not her.
And if you don't restore her.
Know thou that thou shalt surely die. Thou and all that are thine. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning. And called all his servants. And told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham. And said unto him. What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee? That thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass.
Okay. Continue.
When God caused me to wander from my father's house.
That's verse what?
Verse 30. That I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show.
Now leave it, else we'll spend the whole time on that one. Go to Numbers chapter 12. So God had closed all the womb of all the people in Abimelech's house. For that, God closed all their womb. So Abraham at this time was supposed to pray for them for the womb to be opened. That's what certain mistakes do. It causes. So your womb are closed and you are worrying men of God. But it's because of that. Sometimes God closed even all his maid servants and all that. God closed all of them. Their womb. And said, Abraham, go and pray for them so that they will conceive. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
He took the wife of a prophet. Numbers 12:1. There are a lot of things.
And Miriam and Aaron.
Spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman, because Moses had married an Ethiopian woman.
Whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman.
And they said,
had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord
God has spoken by us too. It's not only Moses who is a prophet. We are also pastors and leaders and all that. Continue.
And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek.
Very meek.
Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. And unto Aaron. And unto Miriam. Come out ye three unto the tabernacle.
Come, you three of you, you come. God heard it. But maybe Moses even did not hear. But Moses, God heard that they had spoken against Moses, that he had married an Ethiopian woman. Uh-huh. And God said, three of you come. Let's have a meeting.
Mm-hmm. And he three came out.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud.
Yes.
And stood in the door of the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
And called Aaron and Miriam.
And called Aaron and Miriam and said what?
And mm-hmm. they both came forth.
Uh-huh.
And he said.
And he said.
Hear now my words.
Uh-huh.
If there be a prophet among you.
If there be a prophet among you.
The Lord will make myself. I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision.
Uh-huh.
And will speak unto him in a dream.
Uh-huh.
My servant Moses is not so.
Uh-huh.
Who is faithful in all my house.
Uh-huh.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
Uh-huh.
Even apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And not in dark speeches.
Uh-huh.
And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore then.
Mm-hmm.
Were ye not afraid to speak against.
Were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. Say it. Say. Were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Remember, when Moses was a baby, it was Miriam that picked him as a baby. Do you know that?
Yes,
so she felt like, oh, I know. That's why I said, the man of God is not your, what, your brother or your classmate. Oh, but Moses, when I was the one who picked. He had moved beyond that Moses. He had moved beyond that. So when she said that, God got angry and dealt with her with leprosy. You may not carry white leprosy today, but it can happen to your business. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, Pastor.
God spoke. You see, these things are written for our learning, the Bible says. They are written for as an example so that we know as Christians how we should behave. That's why I'm sharing this. You don't go and carry something and bring it to my church.
Hey.
Oh, I saw from Abba Ina. Oh, me now, you fake. Come, you fake. Ah, then you say that, and then you go. Then things are not working. You are running to the same asofo to help you. So it's very important. Some of this I can't share or I can't read all. It's okay. Miriam carried leprosy. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Now let me teach you this thing briefly, and then we close. Amen.
Amen.
A man of God has authority to do certain things. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. A man of God has authority to do certain things in the church. Certain things. That God will not say, oh, you stop. No. So give it to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
To deliver such an one unto Satan.
To deliver, there was... No, go up a little bit. There was somebody misbehaving in the church. Uh-huh.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1.
Verse 1. Mm-hmm.
It is reported
commonly
that there is fornication among you.
Uh-huh.
And such fornication as is not much as named among the Gentiles.
Uh-huh.
That one should have his father's wife.
Uh-huh.
And ye are puffed up.
Uh-huh.
And have not rather more.
And you are puffed up. That is what's called pride. When the guy is sleeping with the father's wife and they are saying it and say, "Mufa Musa is a free uncle," I say, "Yeah, join here. Your parents are free." Is that not true? That's what he's talking about. Puffed up. Who does the man of God think he is, or the woman of God, his wife? If it is even the wife, I'm even angry at. And the pastors, you understand? He says you are puffed up. Continue. Mm-hmm.
And have not rather mourned.
Mm-hmm.
That
and you have not rather mourned. Mourned what? In repentance, that I've made a mistake. Uh huh.
That he that had done this deed
mm-hmm.
might be taken away from among you.
Uh-huh.
For I verily,
mm-hmm.
as absent in body,
mm-hmm.
but present in spirit,
mm-hmm.
have judged already.
I have judged already. He was not in the church. Oh. Paul, the apostle was not in the church. He says, I have judged already. Huh?
As though I were present. Concerning him that had done
that's the authority the man of God had there. He says what? Concerning he that has done that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When ye are gathered together. And my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ
is there. We have gathered like this. Uh-huh.
To deliver such a person
to Satan. So it means Apostle Paul, by authority, had the right, because of what the person had done, to deliver some. Is he God? To deliver such a person to Satan. That is to say that now you belong to Satan. May Satan deal with you. Is this in the Bible, the New Testament, in the Old Testament?
New Testament.
So the apostle had the authority to deliver a person who is committing that and is still proud of that to Satan. Imagine you are committed to Satan. You ain't committed to a crowd. The demons are always everywhere. You are saying, Papa demon, then you are saying, I'm committed to Satan for free. I say that with them. I said, sometimes people don't know. We can cast out demons from here and they'll go and visit those people who are puffed up. We say, demons, go there. Didn't Jesus command demons to go into a pig?
Yeah.
So go to that man's business and close it. Demons, I'm calling you. In the name of Jesus, I'm addressed. Come on, go and destroy. And the demons will say, yes, sir, because the person who is authorizing him has authority. Is that not true? So why are things not working? Some demons have been sent by a man of God. When he casts it from somebody, he says, go to that person's business. Is that not true? Go to Alexander the coppersmith, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. See, Alexander the coppersmith.
Alexander the coppersmith.
And then we pray for 5 minutes. I want to pray for 2-3 people. Amen. Next week, you are starting very early. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we have to finish all that we have to do. Today, when I called some of my pastors and all that, they were all doing, Papa, we are going, Papa, we are going. I said, hey, Kofoya Bre. Is that not true? God bless you guys. All those who slept here yesterday, and God bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
So read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14 to 15. Lift up your right hand and shout, glory.
Glory.
So what am I teaching you? Number one, don't take your relationship with God for granted. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Read it.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander the coppersmith,
mm-hmm,
did me much evil.
Did me much evil. That was Paul speaking again. It was Paul. Now, let me tell you this. It was Paul who brought the revelation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about love. It was Paul himself. So all of us are only drawing from Paul himself. Is that not true?
It's true, sir.
Continue.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord reward him according to his works.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And it says, may the Lord reward him according to his works. He didn't say, may we all join and pray for Alexander the coppersmith that he will change. Is that what he said?
No, sir.
You are not here. Shout glory.
Glory.
Next week, you must have Sunday school here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. No matter what. Where is Sam? We had 2 meetings. Sam was not there. So how will you know what we are doing? Amen.
Amen.
So it says that, may the Lord reward him. It is like in Chiu, saying, Yanko pun tuya oka. For a dear way. In Ghana, what will you say? I wanted to say something. This one looks elective. Amen. So this, may the Lord reward you according to his works. Yanko pun tuya oka. He did me much evil. That was the prophet, the prophet or the teacher who brought 1 Corinthians. If you walk in love, and love covers multitudes of sins. So why didn't it cover here? As I said, there are protocols you don't break. There are principles you don't break. Don't sit down and say, oh, but it was Paul who wrote it. But when the guy did, he didn't say all the church should be interceding until he changes. He says that you go pon tia oka for what you have done. May the Lord reward you for what you have done. Should the man of God say that about you? No, as a Christian. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
I'm talking about the authority men of God have to do certain things. So don't be a trickster and say, oh, now the business has flourished. I won't come to church again. That business will close. You can pump all your money to close like this. You'll be shocked. You say, we pump money, it has closed. The man took the testimony or took and said, oh, they said they may have any money. I was sorry, me come. Those are things people are doing, and they are going through certain things, and they are putting pressure on men of God. And some men of God too have seen that they are being pressured, and they say, oh, they're for scabra, remember oil, for scabra, remember this. So that they can also get money out of your pocket. Come on, shout, powerful man of God.
Man of God.
Who has said something today? The last scripture I want to raise is 3 John. This is John himself. That if any man hates his brother, says he's a murderer. Was it John who said that?
Yes,
3 John chapter 1. Verse 9 to 12. The scripture says that if you give your tithes, the virus won't come. Did he say that? It's a principle. A man of God can't force tithes out of your pocket. But you can owe. He says, are you not owing me? He says, yeah, you're owing. Yeah. So, okay, I'm owing God. Okay, keep owing. Even if you owe a bank, they've come after you. So you say, man of God, are we praying? Things are not happy. You are owing God. How can I stand in between you and God? What should I go and tell God? Robert, do you want to owe God? You don't know how fearful it is to fall in the hands of God. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
3 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 12.
3 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 12.
Just one chapter or something like that, yes.
I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes,
this one message I will teach you one day. Diotrephes and Demetrius, two important people in the church. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Diotrephes is what?
Who loveth to have the preeminence?
He loves to have preeminence. He wants position. He wants position. Me na minim di ekosu wa sorry dem on America. Me sorry no yesterday ko America hon. Is that not true? Wants position. He wants to have the preeminence. Continue, huh?
Receiveth us not.
Wherefore
if I come.
Wherefore if I come. That was the apostle John.
I will remember his deeds.
I will remember his deeds.
Which he doeth. Prating against us with malicious.
Prating was the NIV. Let's lose with the NIV. The prating is the King James word that is powerful. Amen. So first of all, maintain a good relationship with your man of God. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Now I'll teach you how to maintain a relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
Very important. And I'll teach you how those miracles he talks about works through that relationship. Shout powerful man of God.
Powerful.
So are we at the NIV? What's the NIV? Apart from Pastor Obed, nobody's. Yes, yes, read for us, Benedicta.
3 John chapter 1, verse 9.
NIV.
I wrote to the church. But you be first. Who loves to be first?
Who loves to be first?
Will not welcome us.
Will not welcome us.
So
when I come,
I will call attention to
who or what he is doing.
Spreading
what?
Malicious
nonsense about us.
Not satisfied with that.
He even refuses to welcome other members. That is how proud that guy had become. Have you seen some of these scriptures in the Bible before? Ben, have you seen some of these scriptures in the Bible before? They look very new to you. That's why you have a teacher. To open these things to you, to see that these things are... That's why I say it's not everything when we talk about Anna, your man of God, we talk about. That's why I preach this thing today. So you know from scripture there are things a man of God can do. He may decide not to do it and leave you. It may not happen to you instantly. But the harvest you reap, and you'll be shocked. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
He also stops those who want to do so. And put them out of the church.
You know, there are people in church who, through their words, can get people to leave. Do you know that? Oh, I saw you in our banner. But he's inside the church. Now continue. He mentions another person.
Dear friend,
do not imitate that which is evil.
But
that which is good.
Anyone who
so don't say, oh, this person gossiped and even nothing happened. He even said this. Then you are, don't follow. That's what he's saying. Such people. Say, I'm not following such people.
I'm in
WCN for good. Now continue.
Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God.
Then Demetrius is well spoken. That's another person there in the church.
By everyone. And even by the truth itself.
That's the testimony of that man.
We also speak.
That's the man of God speaking. May we speak well of you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And you know that our testimony is true.
We We know that our testimony, you know that our testimony is true. Shall we please be outstanding? Is that not powerful? Who has heard something today? So you've seen certain scriptures. Write them down. When somebody walks to your home and says, Charlie, woman of God, no cry. You say, okay, wait. Open third John. Let's see that one before we talk. Is that not true? Oh, this pastor cry. You open the scriptures and say, no. Our pastor has taught us that we shouldn't do that. True or false? And lift up your right hand. There are people who have been corrupted and polluted in this church because of gossip. When I started talking about gossip weeks back, and I preached, I said, don't be gossiping. They are like, oh, Papa, why is that? Sometimes when he's preaching, he diverts to the gossip side and say it. Because your heart shows that you have gossiped. I may not see it on your face. Is that not true? I can see it in your heart. That you are holding something in your heart because somebody has told you something. But I can still come and relate and laugh with you and do all of that because I've not taught you. But I've taught you this. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
If we pray, we look and we pray. So all those who are set to cause divisions and confusion in the church, may they catch fire.
Amen.
You will catch fire too.
Amen.
Your business will catch fire. Your marriage will catch fire. Then you say, hey, let the witches catch fire, not you, the Christian. Come on, shout glory.
Glory.
Now lift up your right hand.
Yes.